I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 today. This coming Wednesday, we're going to go back into our study of Mark. We'll be picking up in chapter 2. But on today, I wanted to spend a little time looking at a very short section that illustrates, talks about the practices of Jesus, and that also helps us to know and to recognize the source of our strength and power. On last week, as Pastor Savage ministered on worship, he talked about the diverse forms of worship. The first one he mentioned was prayer. He said that that was spending time in quiet reflection, asking God for guidance, prayer. Of course, he concluded talking about what worship is. Amen. Not only must we worship in spirit and in truth, but he kind of boiled it down to a few simple words. Amen. Worship is a response to who God is and what he has done for us. And so I want to continue this week as we talk about prayer. As we look at Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39, I'm going to talk about following the prayer practices of Jesus. Sister Scott just gave us a dynamic lesson on faith, gave us a little something to hold on to encourage us and to help us remember that even though you may not see the results immediately, that which you are praying for, that prayer and faith are like that little mustard seed, that it grows up bigger than any plant. It was the biggest of all plants at that time that showed up, and it was a reminder that when you pray in faith, you can believe that God is going to do what he said he will do. You wait patiently and don't give up. Amen. As I talk about prayer today, I'm going to deal specifically with the personal aspects of prayer. Personal aspects of prayer. And how important that is for you and me as we say that we are committed followers of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Can't say that you are a disciple, but your prayer life is weak and anemic. Amen? Because when you look at Jesus, the one thing you see is a praying man. Nothing else is described in the Gospels, in the narratives. What you see is the Son of God constantly and regularly connecting and hooking up with God in prayer. This is the very Son of God, fully God, but did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he didn't boost himself up, puff himself up, but he humbled himself before God and regularly sought audience and connection with God. How dare us neglect so great a gift as the privilege and the ability to enter into the throne room of God, into the presence of the King, and not take advantage of one of the most precious gifts that has ever been given to us, the gift of prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35 reads this way. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And so Jesus, praying, you and I want to try and follow his practices in prayer. Amen. Let's go back to verse 35, where it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So according to the habits of Jesus, prayer then is an essential practice. Amen? Prayer is an essential practice. Something that you and I must do. Something that we must practice. Prayer is not something that we talk about. It's something that we do. Prayer is not just something that we read and study about, something that we do. To have all the knowledge about prayer, to be able to describe what prayer is, to talk about prayer in as many facets, is beautiful, but it ain't prayer. You ain't praying until you start to talk to the Lord. Amen? Talking about prayer ain't prayer. And so you and I have to do more than talk about, yeah, we need to pray. We need to actually be praying. And so we see Jesus had the habit of slipping away from everybody else and praying. He had the habit of, even though he had just finished a busy day of ministry, he still found it necessary to go and pray. For if you look at the verses preceding verse 35 in Mark chapter 1, what you discover is that Jesus had been healing all kinds of folks, because when he went to Simon Peter's home, the word got out that Jesus was there. And they started to bring all the sick people there, all of those who were tormented in their minds, all of those who were behaving in such a way that it was not natural for them, all of those who were demon-possessed, they started coming to where Jesus was. And because Jesus was a man who was full of compassion, he was a man who understood who he was and what he had came to do, he did not turn any of them away. And so when they came seeking to be healed, Jesus healed them. It did not matter what the sickness nor the disease was. Jesus, the Son of God, had the power to heal, and so he healed. Didn't matter what they were struggling with in terms of their mental capacity, their emotional struggles. It didn't matter how they were being tormented by outside forces, demons all around. It didn't matter, because Jesus, the Son of God, had the power to make demons be quiet, but not just be quiet, but to leave and stop tormenting his people. And so as they were bringing the sick, as they were bringing the demon-possessed, Jesus, full of compassion, didn't turn them away. He instead healed and drove out demons. Now, if you've ever had the opportunity to minister, whether it is you laying your hands on someone, whether it is you counseling with someone, what you know is that it takes energy out of you. If you ever had the opportunity to listen as a brother or sister is pouring out their hearts while at the same time you're trying to hear what God has to say in the moment of that situation, what you realize is that when you are done, you're like, whoa, that is exhausting. And so Jesus, after he has finished all of this ministry, because he is not only the Son of God, he is also the Son of Man, but without sin. What does that mean? He's the Son of Man. That means that he has a body just like yours and mine. That is subject, that was subject to the same things that we deal with. Fatigue, weariness, all of those things. That was Jesus. And so after ministering to others, he was tired because he had poured out of himself. But what is so critical for you and me to see is that even in his tiredness, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went off to a solitary place to pray. He did not use the fact that he had ministered all day yesterday to say that, well, I can sleep in today. Amen. He did not use the busyness of the moment to justify skipping time alone with God, because he understood the essence that God is his strength. And brothers and sisters, when you and I practice the prayer, the praying practices of Jesus, when we learn to pray, what we're doing is acknowledging to God, we know that you are the source of our strength. Amen. We know that it is in you that we are renewed. It is in you that we are refreshed. It is in you that we are equipped. And so we're not going to bypass that which gives us life. We won't choose a lesser thing to try to get what we want when we can come to you, the very source of life, to get what we need. When you and I understand that, then all of a sudden prayer takes a new place, a new posture, a new position in our lives. I might skip something, but it won't be my time with the Lord. If I got to choose between hash browns, bacon, and eggs, or time alone with God, I guess I shouldn't have used that one, huh? You're right. I can always get them hash browns. I can always get that bacon and those eggs. But time alone with God? Amen. And when I start to understand that that really is the source of my strength, it helps me to make right decisions and to prioritize what I need, right? Amen. Amen. And so Jesus models for us his awareness of the fact that Jesus is his source, his strength, his life. And even though he's tired like everyone else, he rises early in the morning and he goes off, note, to a solitary place to pray. So this is not him waiting for a group to go and pray with him. This is him with one-on-one time with the Father so that he then can be in an intimate exchange. In Luke chapter 5, we also see that Jesus withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. This was his practice. He withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. And so it is both personal And it is something that is done in solitude. So prayer is this essential personal practice that you and I learn to perform in solitude. And when you and I can get good practicing in solitude, this thing called prayer, we get better when we are in a group, when we are praying together. The stronger I become in my individual personal prayer life with God, the stronger we become when we come together to pray and intercede on behalf of others. If I am doing what I'm supposed to do, I won't be the weakest link when we come to pray. Amen? Amen. And what happens is, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? What happens is when we come together and we are individual links in that chain, we are praying and pulling toward a certain thing. And if you and I have worked and exercised and done what we were supposed to do in private, we come together and all of a sudden we are a strong chain that can move some stuff. Amen? Because we have now what? Linked our faith together. Ooh, y'all gonna make me shout right here. Woo! One can put 1,000 to flight. Two, 10,000. If you and I come having practiced prayer in private, exercising our faith, when we come, there ain't gonna be nothing that's going to be able to stand against the move of God. Oh, you need to hear that. You need to hear that. See, we've been trying to do some stuff by the wrong means and by the wrong systems. We've been trying to break some chains off of people's lives by talking them to death. You've been talking to the wrong one. Oh my goodness. If you and I can learn how to link up together, begin to pray in faith using the right language before God, we will indeed begin to see the stronghold of the enemy broken in people's lives. Let's think about for a minute. We're talking about this prayer thing is personal, that it is a practice, it's essential, something that we need to do in solitude, and it is what makes us most like Jesus. Remember, our job is to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're supposed to look like Christ, behave like Christ, carry forth his power. When you think about the depths of prayer, And all of this is attributes. There are some unique things that we know about prayer that I just want to refresh your memory on before we go farther. First of all, prayer provides a direct line of communication to God, right? That's what it is. Prayer is a direct line of communication to God. Prayer is also a safe haven where you and I can find emotional healing and strength. So we have a direct line to God in that we find healing and strength in our emotions as well as in our body. Prayer also provides the guidance needed to navigate life's challenges. So God, as we are talking to him, he gives us what we need so that we can navigate life's challenges through the day, but it happens in prayer. Prayer fosters deeper understanding and builds our faith and trust in God. We learn to trust God and God's plan, even in the midst of uncertainty. And finally, prayer enriches our relationship with God. It brings us closer to him and reveals more and more of his love and his purpose in our lives. All of these things are benefits of prayer. But brothers and sisters, can I just remind you that the benefits of prayer are only discovered and experienced, what? When you pray. Amen. All of those things are available to us, but you don't get the benefit of them if you are not praying. praying, if you are not praying. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, we learn a very important truth. The Apostle Paul says that you're trying to be patient. Bless you. Thank you so much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What this verse reminds us is that we are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. That spirit part of you, that inner man that dwells within you, and then you have the soul, which is normally thought about as your will, your mind, your emotions, is the seat, the heart, the seat of the emotions that normally encapsulates the soul. And of course, your body is how you interact with this world, how you react with this world, how you carry about the business of this world is through your body. But prayer is a spiritual practice. Amen. It's a spiritual practice that tunes my spirit into the frequency of God's spirit. See, prayer is a spiritual thing. That's important now. Remember, you are spirit, soul, body. That hash browns, the bacon, those eggs that we were talking about, that's for my physical body. Amen? But I need something that's going to deal with my spirit, that's going to help my soul. All right? And prayer then is a spiritual practice that tunes my spirit into the frequency of God's spirit. It communicates God's wisdom, and it also transmits God's peace, God's strength, and God's power. That's all happening in prayer. You can't see it, but it's happening in prayer. When you go to the Father through Jesus Christ, these are the things that begin to happen for you and for me, that our spirit is being strengthened and being renewed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 16. That's a lot of verses, and I almost want to read them to you, but I'm going to resist the temptation. I'll just read a few of them for you. But you make a note, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, specifically verses 6 through 16. But let me read for you what it says in verse number 9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But get verse number 10. But God has revealed it by his Spirit. He has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit, the man's spirit within him? So that first bullet says that our spirit knows our thoughts, right? It says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Likewise, the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. He says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So God has given us his Spirit so that we may also know his thoughts. And he transmits this to us by his Spirit. Verse 14 says, the man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In order for you to receive from God's Spirit, you need God's Spirit living in you so that you then are able to get what he wants to give. Amen. That's why prayer becomes essential, because it is a spiritual practice that allows you to connect with God as your spirit is tuned to the frequency of God's Spirit, and he communicates to you his wisdom, and he transmits to you his strength, his peace, and his power. All of this is happening in prayer. It may not seem like it because it's not based on a feeling. I know sometimes it feels good, but you and I both know when you've lived long enough, there are days when you just don't feel like praying. Amen? There are days when you just don't, it ain't there. You ain't feeling it. But because you have disciplined your heart, you've disciplined your mind, you do what you don't feel like doing. That's what discipline is, by the way, right? Discipline is when, even when you don't feel like going to work. Yeah. I just don't feel like it today. But somehow I find the energy to do what I don't feel like doing because I want the full paycheck at the end of the pay period. Amen? If I don't have enough PTO or enough paid time off to be able to say I ain't coming in today and still get compensated for it, I'm going to find the energy. Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to find the energy, right? Because when my electric bill comes in, yeah, that's right. They don't want to hear about, I didn't feel like going to work on such and such a day, so I don't have enough to pay for what I done already used. Or when my stomach starts to growl, and when I go to the refrigerator, I want to see more than the light come on. I want there to be something in there that I can push around and say, yeah, that's what I want today. And so because that's what I want, I find a way, even when I don't feel like going to work, to do what I need to do to receive on the back end that which I want. Amen? And it's the same way, brothers and sisters, with prayer. When you start to understand the benefit that comes from praying, what you do is you start saying that it's no longer about what I feel. I just ain't feeling this. Okay. So you want to walk by yourself today? Okay, cool. Go ahead and stay where you at. I just ain't feeling this. Oh, so you don't want God's wisdom for whatever it is you're going through? Okay, go ahead and stay right there where you at. It's no problem. If you're not motivated to get the answers that you need, cool. Stay right there and get you some rest. But when you start to understand that it is through prayer that you connect with God in such a way that he gives you wisdom, insight, and oh, by the way, by your praying, God reignites the fire within you. So that what you didn't feel like doing, you now have the energy to do what you need to do. He uses your fatigue and your tiredness to sweep off some of the stuff from your busy agenda so you can focus on what you really need to do. When you and I start to understand the benefit of prayer, we stop letting stuff get in the way of keeping us from praying. Amen? And so it's back in Mark 1:38, where, you know, after Jesus had been out praying, Simon and his companions found Jesus. And they said to him, everybody is looking for you. And in verse 38, Jesus has a response for Simon. He says, let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. For that is why I have come. And so Jesus, not only in his connection with the Father, is reminded of his purpose, finds strength to stay the course, and he is not distracted by the needs and wants of other people. By his time with the Father, he is reminded, this is who you are. This is what I've called you to do. This is what your mission is. Even though they are pulling on you and wanting you to stay, nope, that is not why you have come to stay at one location. Nope, you have come so that you can now go and preach the good news of the kingdom in other places. In other words, it helped him to become centered and focused on his purpose so that he was not distracted. Brothers and sisters, when you and I pray, when we connect with the Father, he helps us to recenter on our purpose. He reminds us of who we are and for the purposes for which we have been called. And in whatever season it is that you are in your life, as you are walking out your calling, he helps you to focus on that and do it well. So Jesus packs up and they move on to another place. So it is God's wisdom that you and I seek in prayer so that we can stay aligned with God's will to do what he wants us to do. When you don't know what to do, you have prolonged conversations with God. Amen? Prolonged conversations with God. When I talk a personal prayer, I'm like, you know what? You learn to make this a daily practice. But there are some times when just that little time in the morning just ain't enough. Amen. It really becomes a lifestyle where you are learning to pray as you go. And you and I know that, you know what? We can't stay in the closet all day long. We don't see Jesus staying in the closet all day long. We don't see that. We see that when Peter, Simon, and his companions come to get him, Jesus says, let's go. That's one reason why he got up early in the morning, was so that he could have some time without interruption. Because he knew that he had activity to do in the day, and he wasn't trying to fit that quiet, private time in between stuff. Because when Jesus went about, he was dealing with people. You and I know that he said regularly, I only do what my Father tells me to do. Because he had connected with his Father and had gotten the instructions and the plans for the day, and he's now carrying them out. But sometimes, man, you got to go a little bit longer, you got to go a little bit deeper, because the thing that you are needing, you are asking for, the wisdom that you want, may require that you stay all night. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, there's a passage where it says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Now, this is the occasion where Jesus is getting ready to select the 12 apostles that will follow him. So there are a group of people that's following him, but out of that group, Jesus has to select 12 of them who will go with him and who will be witnesses for the kingdom. It says that before Jesus made this very important decision, he prayed all night long. So there are some things whereby this essential personal practice sometimes takes precedence over physical needs. Sometimes you got to let sleep go. I know. That's one I struggle with. I'd be like, man, when I get sleepy, it's time to go to sleep. Amen. Amen. But I'm having to learn that, no, you've got to be careful. Sometimes the enemy of your soul comes in and he's wanting you to go to sleep so that you can miss out on what God wants to do. And so sometimes you've got to resist sleep because the need before you is so great. You're familiar with that time when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane as he is approaching the end of his earthly ministry. He says to his disciples, come and pray with me. And he leaves them and he goes a little bit farther and he starts to pray, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He has asked three of his closest friends, three of his closest companions to stay there and pray. And when he comes back, he finds them asleep. He makes a statement. Flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. He reminds them that this thing that you're dealing with, your flesh is weak, your spirit is willing. In order for you to be strengthened, you've got to connect in prayer. Why? Because prayer is a spiritual practice that has incredible implication, not only in your spiritual life, but also in your earthly physical life. And so he reminds us that every now and then, we've got to put sleep on the back burner. We've got to put physical need on the back burner. In fact, Jesus started his ministry putting physical need on the back burner. Remember, it said for 40 days, he went into the wilderness where he what? Fasted and prayed. Which means that his need for food was pushed aside so that he could then walk in obedience to God's will. In Luke 22, verses 39 through 41, it talks about how Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. This is what we were just talking about. He said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw and he knelt down and prayed. So you and I are reminded in this exercise, in this practice, that we also get strength from God as we pray. It's a central personal practice that provides us with strength. So prayer then becomes your most important connection with the Father. It's only accomplished by you withdrawing and setting aside time to be with him, to allow him to speak to you and to minister to you. In it, you find that you are restored. In it, you find that you are refreshed. In it, you find that you are renewed and that you are equipped so that you then can carry out the very work that God has assigned to your hands to do. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to unload your worries, to pour out all your worries and stress upon Jesus. Leave them there because he tenderly cares for you. And the way you do that is withdrawing to a solitary place where it's just you and God. And you, with your direct line of communication, began to have conversation with God. Can I help you for a minute? Don't try to make it too fancy. Amen? Don't make it religious. When you withdraw to your solitary place to pray, to have intimate time with God, you ain't got to start saying, oh, thou great and awesome. I mean, you can't help that. I mean, because that's really who he is, right? I mean, you can't help that. But what I'm saying is, don't get so caught up in the form that you miss out on the opportunity that you are before the one who has loved you with an everlasting love. Don't miss out on the opportunity that you're with the one who knows you better than you know yourself. Don't miss the opportunity of the fact that you're sitting before the one who knows your purpose and the plans that he has for your life. You ain't got to come in pretending. You don't have to come with pretension. Is that a word? Pretension. Yeah, pretension. It's not a word, Brother Charles. Don't be pretending. Amen. It did, didn't it? Come real and authentic. Because he is the God of the universe, who is also the creator of life. Amen. He is the giver and sustainer of life. While he has all power in his hand, he is also loving and compassionate. And he has made provision for you and for me through the person of Jesus Christ, where he says that we can enter into his presence. For Jesus, by his death, opened up the way for us to come before God. He is a holy God, but he says that he has also given us a robe of righteousness. He is a holy God who has said that you can come into my presence because you know my son, Jesus Christ. You've got the password. Amen. In fact, he is the God who sits up on his throne. And as you are approaching in humility, you're coming before him. He actually extends his scepter to you. And that's a way of him saying, come on in. I've been waiting on you. Amen. I've been waiting on you. I love this song by this guy by the name of Michael Bethany that talks about early in the morning when I rise. He talks about how God has been waiting for me to open up my eyes. He's just been waiting. He waiting. Remember, God never sleeps. He never slumbers. And so while I'm sleeping and slumbering, he's waiting for me to open up my eyes so that when I open my eyes, I can then enter into his presence. I can then enter into worship with him. What you say, worship is a response to what God has done. When I open up my eyes and all of a sudden I become aware of my environment and my surroundings, I enter into worship by saying, thank you, Jesus. You watched over me another night. You kept me safe from hurt, harm, and danger another night. I just want to worship you. And I enter into prayer while I'm right there just celebrating what God has done. And as I start to move my body, I say, oh, I got strength in my limbs. And I just start to worship him and celebrate what he has done through the night as he has restored my strength. Because when I laid down, I was tired and I was weary. But when he opened up my eyes, I have new strength. And I just want to worship him. And he invites me to come into his presence and to receive from him all that I need. And so I try to give him the first part of my day. Get up and go to a solitary place where I can just have dialogue with the one who loves me. And while I will pepper him with many words of praise and adoration, it is not from this formal sense of I've got to put on a show that this is the way you're supposed to pray. No. Jesus gave us the way we're supposed to pray. He says that when you pray, you go in and say, Our Father, which means that it is personal. He's Abba. An intimate relationship of one who says that he loves you and he will provide for you according to all of your needs. He will give you what you need because he is your Father. So you enter in, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who is in heaven. You're identifying his location. And oh, by the way, because prayer is a spiritual practice, when you connect with him in this way, you are transported to where he is. Wow. See, when you start to understand prayer, it changes your behavior. When you want to escape the trouble, when you want to escape the noise, you don't have to go invite Jim Beam to come to your house. You don't. You don't have to go get gummies so that you can chill and relax. You don't. You don't. Because when you connect with your Father, he transports you from where you are to where he is. And when you make that move from this earthly plane to that heavenly plane, can I just tell you that there is no percentage of alcohol that can move you like what he does. And the good thing about that, when you get your fill, you can still drive. Amen. Amen. You can walk straight. Amen. You can talk clearly. Amen. When you get your fill with him, he doesn't leave you with a hangover or baggage. He equips you. Amen. When you've been high with your time on God, it ain't like you in a zone. You ever talk to somebody that's been on gummies? You ever talk to somebody that's done had a little smoke or something? You ever talk to somebody that's done did eyes all glazed over? What you say not making any sense? Finding enjoyment in theatrics around the smallest thing. Oh man, look at that button. It's a button, dude. Really? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Why y'all? Y'all know that's true. Y'all know that's true. But the thing about when you get high on the presence of God, he doesn't take you to strange places that make you act strange. He fills you with wisdom. He gives you his strength. He gives you his peace. He gives you his presence. And like when you're in the presence of God, you are receiving from him things that many times you're not asking for. But just because he is a good, good father, he is giving you what you need because you're learning how to enjoy his company. He's seeing what your needs are and he is blessing you. And as you rest in him, he is filling you with all that you need. And there are some sicknesses in your body that's been trying to attack you. But because you've been hanging out in the presence of God, it ain't able to attack you. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty and freedom. And he is saying, not right here. All because you understood that when you come into the presence of God, it's a spiritual practice whereby you are acknowledging that God is your source of life, that God is your strength. And in him, you have everything that you need. And when you come with humility, acknowledging that it's all found in God, God says that you're right. And even though you didn't ask for this, I'm going to give it to you anyway. And when you just start hanging out with him, he starts opening up doors that you didn't know were there. Glory to God. Woo! Yeah. Because he knows the plans that he has for your life. And even though the enemy of your soul has been trying to block what God wants to do, God says, don't worry about that. You stay connected with me and I'll open up the way. And when you start to understand that this is what happens when I pray, you won't let anything get in the way of you spending time, solitary time in prayer with your Father. He said, help me to love you like you love me. And out of that, he will do what he says in Ephesians 3 and 20. He will go above and beyond all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. It's his power works on our behalf to bring about his bidding. Brothers and sisters, as you and I work through the book of Mark, we're going to see the practices of Jesus Christ. And I'm just wanting to encourage you to begin to implement these in your lives. It is not just so that we can recognize and see the things that he did, but remember, he came to model for us how we are to live. If we're being conformed to the image of who Jesus Christ is, we've got to act like Jesus acted. And so we've got to spend time, intimate time with the Father so that he can infuse us with his strength and with his power. Then he will be able to use us to break down strongholds, destroy yokes, set the captives free, and bring healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, I'm hoping that what Sister Scott said today stirs up your faith, because we need the kind of faith that believes that God is still able to move mountains. Amen. Amen. You ought to be tired of seeing the enemy win in your life. We need the kind of faith that says, God, I know that you are the same God today that you were on yesterday. And I'm not moving, God. I'm not going to move from my position until you deliver. I'm not trying to bully you, God, because I know you can't be bullied. I'm just wanting you to know that I believe that you are able, and I'm going to demonstrate my confidence by staying before you on my face with the right attitude, God, until you bring about the desired change. And all of that is strengthened, brothers and sisters. We unload our words, pour out all of our cares before the one who loves us with an everlasting love. Father, we thank you for the model and practices of Jesus Christ that, God, he demonstrated the necessity of connecting with you. May we make that, Lord, a priority, Lord, in our lives. May we never, ever forsake the privilege of coming into the throne room of grace. Then help us, God, to receive from you all that we need, beginning first. So we practice and strengthen our own personal walk with you so that we can hold up our brothers, so that we can hold up our sisters, so that we can, Father, tell others about you, the God who is able to do more than what is needed, who is able to save us from our sinful lives and redeem us and sanctify us through and through. Help us, Father, now to experience you in a whole new way, at a whole new level, as we practice, God, this spiritual discipline of prayer, personal prayer that makes us strong, keeps us united with you, that allows you to speak, God, your wisdom, and share your thoughts with us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. We thank you for the demonstration of his power. He said death could not hold him. But he was elevated and now serves as our great high priest, offering intercession for us regularly so that we are completely saved, never ever to go back. We thank you in his name. The people of God said amen.